Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
Welcome to another episode of Out of the Pods. I'm Deep T.
And I'm Natalie. And happy Monday, guys.
Surprise, we're dropping the episode early.
I know, this is our little gift to you because we know our episodes typically drop on Wednesday and that's when Love is Blind comes out. And we're like, you know what? I think people want to hear our recap. We're such narcissists. We're like, people want to hear what we think early, okay?
Yeah. No, we just had to get the info out because honestly, we can't hold in our own thoughts. And I needed to chat with you about what's going on.
Yeah, 100%. And to be honest, I just wanted to hear the pod besties' opinions. Like, what really sucked is when we dropped our episodes on Wednesday, when the new set of episodes for Love is Blind season 9 came out. And then our pod besties is like, oh, this person now does this thing. And I was just like, oh, okay, no. Like, I hate that.
Yeah.
I hate that.
It's a little too delayed. And you know what? We needed to adjust.
Yeah. So here we are. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
It's our little gift to you. Before we start a recap of the episodes 7 through 9, I did want to like talk about some things that I'm just seeing on social media. The first thing is that Blake, who we haven't seen in this new set of episodes, the last time we saw him was like literally episode 2. Mm-hmm. He's doing so much press and I'm kind of confused why. Like, there was an official press day, which included Calabria, Madison, Allie, Jordan, and Blake. And I was like, wait, why is Blake there? Like... It shouldn't be like, I don't know, even Patrick. Like, it should be Patrick. Even Brendan. But Blake. I was just confused why Blake is there.
Honestly, I just think it's because Blake just looks so polished and he's, I don't know, he's media ready. He's media trained. He just is eloquent in the way he speaks. But I just know Natalie has another theory.
No, I really think that maybe they're like prepping him because he's going to be on another Netflix show.
Yeah. One thing about this season is that it truly is like expect the unexpected because they just seem to surprise me throughout the entire season so far. So if Blake is dating somebody else from the cast, I feel like that could be a very, very plausible thing to happen.
Yeah. No, those are my two theories. He's either a perfect match, which, let's be real, wouldn't make sense.
There's no chance he's going to thrive on perfect match.
Not saying he's like not good looking. I think he's cute. But his personality, he's a normal human.
Yeah, he's very normal.
That's what I meant to say.
He's very normal in this very quirky cast. So they're like, let's like showcase you and put you at the head of press because you're going to give the entire season a good name.
But going back to why he's doing so much press is he's either on Perfect Match or he's with one of the female cast members.
I'm intrigued to see if he makes it to reunion because I don't know what he would say at reunion.
Listen, but if he makes it to reunion, I was like, something's up.
Something's definitely up.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll be like, surprise, there's a new TV show coming out.
I think it gives hope to cast members in the future Love is Blind seasons where they leave like early on in the pods. They're like, we get screen time. Like, there is a chance we get screen time because for past seasons, I think when you're filming the show, the thought is, if I don't get engaged, I don't get any screen time. But obviously, that's not the case anymore if you look at like the recent seasons.
Yeah. And especially with this season, it makes most sense for people like Anna and Blake to leave. And it kind of makes the plot thicken even more. I felt the absence of them. And they also are memorable to me now because of it. Yeah.
And I feel like this is Kinetic Content's way of keeping the show fresh without changing the format, where like new things that you haven't seen in previous seasons are happening on this season and, you know, future seasons. Even though people leaving early has always happened like on previous seasons, it's just never shown in the actual show.
Yeah. And don't you think this is the most entertaining Love is Blind season we've had in a while?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, yeah. I'm glued to my screen. Whenever Joe and Madison fight, I get excited.
What? That's sick.
I know. I'm like, this is good TV.
Okay, it is very good TV. I actually really like this season. I think it's so entertaining. I'm not rooting for any of them.
None.
But I was like, I love how messy this season is.
Yeah. To be fair, they're not even rooting for themselves.
I will say because they're so messy, I don't see any of these people like gaining a bunch of followers. I feel like that's a priority now for the cast of the recent seasons of Love is Blind. Like, okay, how do I turn this into like an influencer career? Mm-hmm. Which I don't blame them. I love that. You know, like get your bag.
Yeah.
But I feel like Love is Blind is changing where you see recent casts, like they're not building the followings as the like past seasons, mm-hmm. but they're definitely messy.
They're so messy. And I don't even know how to feel about it. Let's get into it.
Let's start with Joe and Madison.
Let me pull up my little notes.
I took notes during their fights too, because I was like, what are they fighting about?
Natalie, I watched their fight 3 times.
Same.
I was like, wait, what did I miss? Because how did this fight even start? Here's what I think about this fight.
One, which fight?
Because literally, which fight?
All of their fights.
All of their
fights.
This is
what you think about all of their fights.
The common denominator to all of their fights is one, Joe does not know how to communicate his thoughts. He literally does not know how to form a sentence to communicate his thoughts because he is tiptoeing around Madison's feelings and he doesn't want to set her off. But by doing that, he sets her off.
She's emotional. She's deep in her feelings, you know?
I don't know which is worse, though, because if I were Madison, like, and I'm not saying this is a good thing for me to do, but I will internalize everything. Mm-hmm. So I will listen very carefully to Joe's, you know, confusion on the process of Love is Blind, because clearly he didn't read his contract and doesn't know what's happening.
And he's like, wait, you're not worried? And she's like, you didn't know what you're getting yourself into? Like, what are you doing here?
Yeah, and remember when he even talks to the boys and he's like, wait, we get married in 3 weeks? I'm like, Joe, what in the world? He's just, I don't know, he's just there for a good time. And Madison, I think, is actually there to find love.
And wants a relationship.
Yeah, and she's marriage. Like marriage-minded. But yeah, I think that's where the disconnect is. Their communication styles are so different that they just can't get on the same page.
Okay, I don't know if this is an unpopular take or if anyone's thinking this too, but I think Joe is actually very manipulative. Mm-hmm. I think it's just harder to see it because he comes off as a doofus, for lack of a better word. Like, I don't know.
Fair.
You know, like he just comes off like dumb and fratty and like a doofus.
Yes.
But I actually think he's low-key manipulative. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, when they get back to Denver and they're having another fight. It's the first fight in Denver where he's all like, you don't have any worries, like any reservations. I was like, listen, the way you started that conversation is manipulative.
Yeah.
If my fiance was saying that to me, like, you don't have any worries or reservations, I'd be like, whoa, what's going on? Like, why are you wording it like that?
Yeah. Every single couple has worries and concerns at this stage of the process. But you just don't start off with saying, like, aren't you worried? It's like, Joe, express what you're worried about.
Like, yeah, like,
what are the specific things that you're thinking about in your brain? Don't just, like, word vomit random shit and expect her to just sit there and be like, yeah, Joe, like, I agree.
Yeah, no, 100%. I was like, there's a difference of starting a conversation like that versus being like, hey, I have reservations and worries and here is what... Actually, why am I even saying that? I would never expect Joe to start a conversation like that.
That's so true.
That would be like how a normal person starts a conversation. Meanwhile, you have Joe who has amnesia 24/7. Of course, I would never expect Joe to start a conversation like that. Like, what am I saying? But the reason why I feel like he's manipulative is because he knows he's not attracted to Madison. He knows he's not going to marry Madison, but he's still leading her on by confusing her specifically with sex and false words.
Yes, absolutely. Also, to piggyback off of that, I recently saw the Vile Files interview with Madison, and she was explaining how Joe actually did say something about his type. Like, they were talking about what their usual types are in the real world. And she said that he mentioned, oh, my usual type is more petite women.
Oh, so he actually said it to her. I just thought he said it in the confessionals.
Same, because like he was like, oh, I usually go for like skinnier women.
Yeah.
And I thought only us as viewers knew that and not Madison. But yeah, he did say it to Madison. So she was like, that was in the back of my mind, which explains her behavior towards him and why she's so reactive. And in my opinion, it's not overreacting. I think she's just trying to process all of those feelings. And when he says, oh, I have doubts, it's it's a bigger, deeper issue.
Yeah, because she's thinking like, is it my body?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And that is not a good place to be whatsoever. You want your partner to reassure you, not constantly make you feel anxious and feel like there's something wrong with you.
I also feel like the reason why it looks like she's overreacting to everything he says pretty much mm-hmm. is because she feels that he's not being truthful about his feelings towards her. Like, even though he's like assuring her that he loves her and wants to be with her, I think she knows in the back of her head, like can feel it, that like that's not the case. It's like when you're about to get broken up with, I don't know if anyone else has experienced this, like I feel it and sometimes yeah. it causes me to get really anxious.
Yeah. No, I can.
Especially when they're not being honest. Like, I'll always be like, hey, is everything okay? Like, I feel like, I don't know, like our texting cadence changed.
Yes.
And they're like, no, everything is fine. And then like 2 days later, they're like, can we break up?
Yeah. It's like you feel like you're reading too much into it. In the back of your mind, you know that you're not. But you know, the whole thing with Joe and Madison too, I have a feeling that Joe really just wants to continue in the process and is going to do anything to string Madison along.
I feel like there's men out there that can just have sex without even liking the person. And I feel like Joe is one of those men, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
We all just, know. I can't. We've all experienced that type of man. Okay?
No, absolutely. Yeah, Joe literally cannot form a sentence around Madison because he's tiptoeing around her. But with the guys, he's able to like shoot the shit and just be himself. And you yeah. can tell the difference in body language and obviously his words, because like Joe pisses me off when he speaks sometimes.
Oh, same.
You say a lot and nothing at the at the same time.
I think Joe's just scared of being the villain, which is why he can't truthfully express how he actually feels and mm-hmm. like convey his concerns to Madison, because you know she overreacts
yeah.
and he's like, I need to like fix this, like calm the situation, and then he has sex with her and then they make up and then the cycle just continues over and over again until their wedding day probably.
Yep, until that altar. And wait, I forgot that in the trailer you hear Madison saying at the wedding, where's Joe? And he's like, Joe's sitting in his truck.
I feel like she's always saying, where's Joe? He's always away from Madison.
That's so true.
I don't think there's any way Joe and Madison get married.
Oh, absolutely not.
Yeah.
I don't think Joe is into it, but I really hope that Madison sees that he's not the one for her and she's the one who decides to say no. I'm praying that that's the case.
I hope so too. Another couple that surprisingly fights a lot is Annie and Nick.
I actually don't know why they fight, because what was that fight about in Mexico? I tried to rewatch it to figure out where it went wrong, but I thought Nick handled it so well because Annie just lost her shit out of nowhere.
I want to give Annie a little bit of grace, though, because you could tell in their Mexico fight, she was so drunk.
Oh.
Like, so drunk. And I feel like when a drunk person is fighting with a semi-sober person, I think Nick was sober. Well, he was acting sober. It's just never going to be good. Like, the drunk person is just going to not understand what's happening.
Yeah. And I think Nick handled it so well. Because he's like, let's just get some resin. She's like, oh, fine. Let's just.
She's like, I don't need you. I just want you. And he's like, okay.
I think that was so funny. But no, you're totally right. I think she was drunk.
Yeah.
But,
so it's unfair in that
but
way.
But it's not an excuse. When I get drunk, I don't just start fights out of nowhere.
Well, I think how the fight started is Nick says to Annie, oh, the guys were talking about like if our wedding is tomorrow, what would we say? And, you know, all the guys are kind of unsure. And she's like, you're unsure?
I'm 100%.
She goes, I love you. Like, I'm sure. I mean, she didn't say that's not exactly how it went down. But yeah. I think that was like what she was thinking. Like, you're unsure. Like, I'm so sure.
Yeah.
Like, I love the fuck out of you. That's something she actually said. And I was like, okay.
She did say that because he was like, I'm going to go to bed. And he's like, should I go to another room? And she goes, no, Nick, I love the fuck out of you.
He's like, okay.
He's like, I'm going to go to bed.
Wait, my friend texted me this. He goes, Nick sounds like what I think my ChatGPT sounds like when I complain to him, him being his ChatGPT. And I was like,
that's so funny. He does. He's very good at like calming down the situation. So I do applaud Nick for that. And I'm actually starting to like him a lot more in these episodes because he's just seems like a sweet guy. And there's something about the couples meeting the family or maybe it's like the viewers meeting the family that like humanizes all the contestants.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, like his mom loves him so much. And like, you know, it's like his dad was so sweet. And I'm like, Nick, you're a nice guy.
I felt bad when Nick's mom says that Nick is a sensitive soul or mm-hmm. something like that, because obviously there's a lot of allegations out there on his sexual orientation. I just couldn't imagine how he feels. Like, it's embarrassing to see that about yourself and mm-hmm. have TikToks made about yeah. that. So I think when she said like he's a sensitive soul, it hurt my soul being like, I wonder how he feels about all the backlash out there.
I know. I do worry about that too, because he does just genuinely seem like a nice person and a good guy with a good heart. Like, maybe he's going through some things, but I don't know. I do feel really bad because he shouldn't have to see all of this out there about him.
But he also said in the pods how he likes to hit children, and he, you know, made a homophobic comment. And also, I think it's hard for me to truly believe what Nick is saying, because Madison says to Kate at the pod squad party, like, you know, people don't like Nick, and Kate goes, yeah, like people think he's fake and calculated.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, is the Nick that we're seeing in this set of episodes, like, you know, him being kind of like rational and trying to calm Annie down and validate Annie, like, is that calculation?
I don't know. And I'm sure it is a little bit, because like I'd have to be calculated if I had to calm down drunk Annie too. So, you know, that's fair. So like, I get that piece. And the whole piece where he is talking to Kate and they're talking about how, you know, he said, I love you. Oh my gosh, I absolutely died when this scene happened, because I feel like love bombers forget that they love bomb. So he's like, oh yeah, I totally forgot. I told you I love you. How do I get out of this situation? I think Kate could see right through
yeah.
what he was doing. And I think maybe that's why she called him calculated and fake, because I think he love bombs so much that's her impression of him.
Which I don't blame her. Like, no. I think that her anger towards him is very much justified.
I agree.
I feel like when you tell someone I love you, especially romantically, like, that's like very serious.
I agree.
And for him to have broken up with Kate 2 days after telling Kate he loved her, yeah, that is very love bomby, and I could see why she views that as calculated and him being fake. Do you believe Kate when she says that Nick told her, I can't get there with Annie, like I can't get to love with Annie?
I think that he probably did say that. He probably didn't mean it, because he's, again, love bombing like crazy in those pods. And Annie fell for the love bombing because Brendan wasn't giving any of that to yeah. her.
Brendan was being like a normal person.
Yeah, he's like, let me take my time. But no, I do think that he might have said it and completely forgot that he said that.
I wonder if it's going to be like the cutie scene where they're going to show it at the reunion, because if he said it, like, they have the footage.
Yeah. I think if Annie and Nick get married, they will not show the footage. Mm. Because they're like, let's protect our couples.
Don't you feel like they would show the footage?
If they're married and they show that footage, like, Nick better work on his conversation with Annie. Like,
Annie's going to have a meltdown.
Annie's definitely not going to the mountains.
Yeah, no, she's like, this is our divorce.
What do you think about the whole situation with Annie wanting to be in Denver and Nick wanting to stay in the mountains? But he's willing to compromise.
To be honest, if I saw that mountain house, I'd be like, we're going to the mountains.
Yeah, no, right?
It's not Sparkle Megan, it's Sparkle Nick, okay?
Yes!
That man is truly rich.
That was good. That man is truly rich. And he doesn't flaunt his rich, which I absolutely love.
At least he doesn't talk about it.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, these are my skis. This is like just the little race car game that I built.
And I was like, oh yeah, Nick's rich.
Yeah, Nick's rich.
I was like, okay, I mean.
I would be so sad if he had to give up that home, because he put his blood, tears, and sweat into that place, and it is his sanctuary. And he loves looking at the stars.
Sorry, I'm laughing because you said blood, tears, and sweat. It's typically said like blood, sweat, and tears. And I was like, oh, she just changed the order.
Listen, my brain just is mush.
Yeah, no, it was a very nice house. I wouldn't want to sell that place either.
No, it's not happening.
Oh. If I was Annie, I'd be like, no, I'm moving in.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, screw Denver.
Yeah, let's put on some cute little fuzzy pillows everywhere. Let's, you know, woman it up a little. And
I'm going to say something really mean, but I didn't realize Annie is a hair salon owner.
And we'll leave it at that.
Yeah. Do you know what I was trying to get with
that? Of course I knew what you were trying to say. Listen, I always struggle on these Love is Blind recaps because I can't decide if I should be nice or if I should be honest. And well, it has to be a marriage of both, I think.
It's not that. I think I was just like, half of my week is bad hair days. Look at my hair right now.
You're not a hairdresser. You don't own a salon. Because like, if you own a salon, you're a walking ad.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
So, you know what? Love is Blind is stressful. Maybe the filming has been stressful. And my hair would be the last thing I worry about.
That's the only thing I was trying to say is like, I feel like if I was a hair salon owner and on an international TV show, I would want my hair to look like perfection every time I filmed.
Yeah.
Because you don't film 24/7 when you're back in Denver. Like, yeah. You only film like a few hours a week. So you got the rest of the time to, you know, like when we got ready for filming, you had like a couple of hours to like get ready wanted to.
Yeah. And you could tell the producers like what time you wanted to film.
Yeah. Because
like, a lot of people had like crazy work hours. Like Shake was working all the time.
Yeah.
Which is kind of a blessing.
Looking back,
I was like, had some time to process things. But anyway, yeah. Nick and Annie.
I think they low-key make it. I don't know why.
Because Nick is just good at like mitigating fights.
I feel like Nick might say yes, and Annie loves the shit out of Nick, so she's gonna say yes too.
Okay, here's the thing about Annie loving the shit out of Nick. I don't know if she loves Nick or she loves the idea of being married.
Look, people have said I do at the altar for crazier reasons.
Facts. True that. True that.
If you love being married, then you're gonna say I do at the altar, you know?
Yes. You know who else I think wants to be married, but to a rich man? Allie.
Oh my gosh.
Allie and Anton. Okay, we have seen more of her personality in these sets of episodes than the first six combined.
Yeah.
Okay, let's get into it. How do we feel about Anton and Allie?
I'm confused by them. Like, sometimes I feel like they can make it, and then sometimes I'm like, there's no way.
Yeah.
What is his job again?
He is a, I looked this up because I was so intrigued. He's in transportation logistics.
Okay. A lot of people do that in Chicago.
Yeah, and apparently he makes good money from it.
Okay, okay. The only thing I was confused about is when they're talking about joint bank accounts, where he's like, why would you need your own separate account? But I feel like that's really common when you have a couple where both people work. They typically have a joint account, but their own separate accounts too.
Yeah. And you know what? Fair. I think that that makes sense and it's valid. But the fact that Allie was like, well, I'm going to start school soon and I don't want to work. So she's not going to be bringing in any income for a little bit.
Yeah.
And she's still like, I want my own account because I don't want you to know how much I pay for Botox. And honestly, fair.
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 I know she's kind of being edited as like this woman who wants a rich husband type of thing. But I think she's going back for an advanced nursing degree or to specialize nursing.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a friend who was going back to school to be a CRNA. Yeah. And like, you cannot work during the time. Like, I just feel like that's kind of fair if you get married and a partner has to support you going through school, because hopefully after you graduate, you'll be making more money.
Yeah, that nursing curriculum is extremely difficult and time consuming. So I can see why, like, she didn't have time to do anything else and her mom was taking care of her when she was in school. So it makes sense. But I think it's nice that she's very upfront about what she wants.
Yeah.
She's like, hey, this is what I'm looking for. Are you going to support me through school? Like, yeah, like, I also want to get Botox. Like, I think that's fair of her to say all of that stuff upfront so he's aware.
Yeah. They're definitely a mismatch, though, but like not a big mismatch.
Yeah.
What did you think about that moment where Anton's friend's girlfriend tells Allie about like Anton going to strip clubs and things like that? Like, they're in the bathroom and like, you know, they're having this conversation.
I was so excited for you to ask me this question because this was TV gold, and Melissa, I think is her name.
Yeah.
She is in a lot of trouble with Anton.
Oh, Anton's probably fucking pissed.
Honestly, Melissa, thank you. You are a girl's girl. Thank you for letting Allie know.
That felt like a real conversation. Like, like, Melissa didn't realize like they were going to use that footage.
Exactly, because you know when you go to the bathroom with the girls, you're chit-chatting, you're kiki-ing.
When you think the camera's not on you, you're like, oh yeah, like I could speak into my mic when I'm in the bathroom. Like, they're not going to show it.
Exactly.
Like, there's no camera in here.
Oh, little does she know about reality TV. Yeah. They will use that footage. But no, I'm really happy that she found out. What I'm really pissed about is they didn't even show the conversation between Anton and Allie where Allie's like, oh, we're going to have a conversation later. Where is the conversation?
They probably had it privately when they weren't filming.
That's so annoying.
I don't blame them because, like, again, Shane and I did that. Yeah. Where we kept a lot of our fights off camera. And I think the reason why we did that was we're like, okay, if we do get married, our kids are going to see this show. Like, I'm mm-hmm. not going to be fighting with you
yeah.
and having like conversations that might embarrass you in front of the cameras. Maybe true. Allie will bring it up later though.
Well, she does bring it up a little bit to the girls at the Pod Squad party.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, maybe she'll like reveal a little bit there. But yeah,
Like, maybe they'll, like, rehash the conversation in the next set of episodes or something.
Yeah, because clearly there's, like, what, two more episodes before finale?
But I did want to ask you, if you were in Allie's shoes and you found out your fiancé was going to strip clubs when he was single, would that be an issue for you?
Honestly, yes.
Same.
I think it would be a big issue for me because I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with going to the strip club, but I wouldn't want my future partner to be doing that even just 4 months ago.
Yeah.
When he was single. You know what I mean? Like that plus the fact that he's also drinking in the mornings after his night shift. He's like having mimosas or has like a couple beers in the morning. I think that's a little problematic.
I agree. But then I'm thinking like, how's that any different from people who work 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. jobs? And they come home and have like one or two glasses of wine.
Yeah.
Like his schedule's just flipped.
I know. And I was thinking that was in the back of my mind too. But there's just something about the morning.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is off-putting.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's not like 9 a.m. beers just don't hit the same as like a 6 p.m. glass of wine.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's not 5 o'clock anywhere. You know?
No, 100%.
Maybe I just can't relate because I've never been the type to ever drink alone or to like pour myself a glass of wine ever. Like, it's just not me. I always think of drinking like as a social thing. That's
actually
always been my case.
I'm gonna be honest, I've never really poured myself a glass of wine, but I have, like, if I'm going
like once in a blue moon, because I as soon as you said that I looked at you and I was like, bitch, when have you done that?
If you really know me, I actually don't ever drink.
You don't.
Like, I only drink in social settings.
Yeah.
And if I do have a drink, it's like one or two.
And she's wasted.
Yeah. But I feel like, you know,
I know what you mean. That's like the most relatable thing ever.
Yeah.
After a long, hard day of work, like pour yourself a glass of wine or have a beer. Like, I get it.
That's like normal in society.
Yeah.
But you.
So maybe we give him a pass on that piece. But the fact that he was like partying really hard, that's not the problem. I think the problem is the way he framed it to Allie and said, oh, his friend is the one who does all of that, but I'm going to calm down. Like that kind of, it's
but
like
what if,
fibbing a little bit.
But what if that is the case? Because like what
not
if.
Not according to Melissa.
No, I know. But what if Melissa has like a different view because it's Melissa's boyfriend? You know what I'm saying?
Oh, you think like Melissa's boyfriend's telling Melissa the
same
thing?
Yeah, yeah. Like, oh no, we do it together.
Yeah. You know? They're both degenerates. Let's
because like Melissa doesn't really know Anton.
Yeah.
Melissa's only been dating Anton's friend for 4 months.
4 months.
So it's like, what if Melissa's viewing it of like, you're the problem, Anton. You're dragging my boyfriend.
True.
You know?
Because
she's like biased because she wants to think highly of her boyfriend.
Yeah. And plus like Anton was single and then his friend was with Melissa. So like the roles have been reversed.
Yeah.
So maybe like Anton is different as a married man or an engaged man.
That's why I was struggling with it because I feel like I would feel the same way of Allie of being like, okay, that's not the lifestyle I want. Even though you were single 4 months ago, the fact that, you know, you were going to strip clubs and drinking a lot, like, how much can change till now? But on the other hand, like, people do change in relationships. Like,
absolutely.
I know I do.
Mm-hmm.
I know that I go out more when I'm single and I socialize more versus right when I'm in a relationship, I'm like,
oh, same.
It's just me and my partner.
Exactly.
Like, we're not really going out that much.
My party friends don't see me for years when I'm in a relationship.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I totally feel like this is not that big of a deal. The only little thing would be like the strip club thing.
Yeah, like, I don't like that.
I don't love the idea of like, oh, let's go have fun and go to the strip club. Like, that's just not me. But to each their own.
Yeah, that's just a preference on my part of like, I wouldn't like that my man is going to strip club as a way of going out.
Yeah.
But that's just me being me.
I feel like this couple doesn't have that many issues, so they're trying to highlight Anton's drinking a lot.
Yeah.
They're like showing him doing shots and they're like, another one, reposado, you know? And I was like, come on, guys. Like, but, you know, I think I have faith in this couple that they potentially might have a good chance.
Maybe. I've seen some social media things where I feel like they actually don't make it. Ooh. But I'll talk about it in the next episode.
Okay, girl, the tea. One last thing about Allie and Anton. I loved right before the pod squad party where he's like, oh, yeah, I'm sure there's going to be a lot of flirting. And Allie's like, you can flirt. I'm not your mother. That was the biggest test of all time. And I loved it. She's like, yeah, you can flirt just to like test the waters. Like,
oh, I love
she's
that.
Just testing him. We love it.
Guys, I kind of like Sparkle Megan in these episodes, and I really like Jordan.
I absolutely love Jordan.
Same.
The biggest green flag in the entire world was him living in a one-bedroom apartment, and he sleeps outside in the living room while his kid gets the room. And honestly, that is the biggest green flag ever. It was so sweet.
But also, it's like the bare minimum. Like, that's what he should be doing.
No, I know. But like...
like, what, he's going to give himself the bedroom and his kid the living room?
Well, his kid is only with him 50% of the time. So he's not even there full time. And he still gave him the room.
Oh,
that's just melted my heart.
I think the way Jordan thinks, especially when it comes to Megan's wealth, is very much green flag. After they go look at that $2 million house, we have some comments about that. He says in the confessional, he's like, I don't want to come off like a mooch. Like, I don't want to seem like one. And he goes, and I also don't want like Megan to compromise for me. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, clearly she wants a certain type of life. And he goes, I don't want her to compromise that for mm-hmm. me. But I feel like just the way he was talking about it, I was like, this is a really good guy.
Yeah, he seems so self-assured. And the best part about him is that he communicates really well. And I'm sure it has to do with his child because he has to constantly communicate well.
I don't know. I feel like becoming a parent doesn't make you, you know, a good communicator.
Facts. You know? It is a very good quality about him. And I do think like Megan and Jordan, if they can figure out like the financial aspect of it and also like the power struggle, because I think that's going to be their biggest downfall. If one or the other like kind of teeters on the power because, you know, Megan is bringing more money to the table, like Jordan can feel less than because he's not contributing as much. If they can handle that like power imbalance, they might actually have a shot at making it.
Yeah, because I think he says in his confessionals as well, he's like, I want to also like provide for her. Like, I want to be a provider.
Yeah.
So yeah, I do feel like there is that delicate like power balance.
Yeah.
Do you think it's weird that Megan doesn't live in Denver right now? Like, I was like, why is she on the show?
I know. I thought the same thing. Like, she lives in LA, but she was relocating to Denver. But like, did she relocate for the show?
That's what I was thinking too. I think she honestly lied during the casting process. And then when she was chosen, she had to do like a quick switch. Yeah. I think that's what happened.
That's the impression I'm also getting. But can we just talk about the house thing? Like, Megan. Sparkle, Megan.
That was not a good look for her.
Not at all. Like, it just, like, comes off very show-offy.
Yeah.
In what world do you and Jordan need a six-bedroom home?
Yeah, especially because he's like, I live in a one-bedroom
yeah.
where I don't even have my own bedroom. And then here she is being like, okay, we're going to go tour a $2 million house, which I feel like was just for the show.
Yes.
And she's like, and then we're going to sell my LA house for 1.5, which means that, you know, we're going to owe $500,000 and we're going to split that. We're going to split the down payment. Okay, Megan, read the room. Like, what makes you think you could say that to Jordan right now? Yeah. Like, what?
And it seemed like the realtor was her friend.
I mean, maybe producers like pushed for that scene to happen, but I feel like Megan had a hand in it. Like, obviously she agreed, like, yeah, we're going to tour a $2 million house. And like, she also said the things that she said.
Mm-hmm.
It just made me cringe. You're trying really hard to like show off in front of the cameras about your wealth. Unlike Nick, who rarely talks about his wealth and kind of, again, shows that he's wealthy through like what he has.
And that's the thing about Megan is like, yeah, maybe she's trying to be like, oh, like, look how rich I am. Look how, like, established and, like, successful I am. But indirectly, she's making Jordan feel less than and kind of, like, making his insecurities kind of bubble up to the top, which I guess is a good thing before they make it to the altar to talk about those things. But yeah, I just didn't love the energy around it. It's the way she was doing it that I was like, Megan.
I think the reason why I'm going so hard on her about it is because it's my biggest ick.
It is.
Like, especially when men do it, it's like my number one thing. Like, when a man shows off, whether it's about his accomplishments or his wealth, whatever, that's my thing where I was like, I fucking hate that. And I also hate when women do it too, and Megan's doing it. So I think I'm like mostly bothered by it. I did really love her mom and sister.
I did too.
They were fun.
They were so fun. And I felt like Jordan met his match when it came to Megan's mom.
Oh, yes.
I'm like, Jordan, I'm sorry, but you need to take a seat. Megan's mom's funnier.
Yeah, no, they were like really, really fun. Yeah. But when her sister said she had a dream of her dad saying, you know, like, Megan's partner, his son is like me. It's not a coincidence.
I just love signs like that. But the problem is, what if he was just saying like, oh, she was meant to go through this process with her, not necessarily, hey, you need to marry this man. You know what I mean? Like, I fear that now Megan is going to hold on to that and be like, she's going to say yes because of that situation. And like, among other things, but
obviously that dream was implying that their dad said Megan's person would have a son like me, aka have type 1 diabetes, which I was like, what? But I was thinking like, okay, this couple better work out. If my sister had a dream of my dad who passed telling her that, I'd be like, fuck yeah, like we better work out. Because imagine if they don't.
I know. Like,
her sister's going to be like, I think dad was talking about someone else.
I think that Megan and Jordan are the strongest couple.
I do too.
So far. And I really do want them to make it because Jordan deserves the love and the financial stability that Megan will provide for him.
Yeah.
He deserves that. And I think Megan deserves Jordan, who is like such a sweet, funny guy. I think it'll help her to kind of come back down to earth. Because even when they were talking about how to handle Luca, because she's like, oh, like, I want to buy him this, I want to buy him that. And he straight away was like, no, I think the most important thing is spending time with him. He's going to remember those memories more than he will a $100 Lego set. Yeah. And I think that really hit home. I think it's going to humble her. And when they come together, I think they will become a good balance.
It feels like they're super serious because Megan says at that Pod Squad party, like, oh, I'm meeting Luca on Friday. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that's a huge step for Jordan to introduce Megan to his son. And also, Megan met Luca's mom. And I was like, okay, this is Jordan really trying to integrate Megan into his life.
I actually think it's really sweet. It also does complicate things a lot. Because even if Megan and Jordan say yes, could they live together so fast? Because it kind of is a stranger to Luca. And so I'm like, I think about that in the back of my head and I'm like, I'm sure this is like a very difficult thing for both of them.
Well, I feel like we both know that couples who get married on Love is Blind, they don't move in together right away.
Exactly.
Like most of them wait like a couple of months.
Yeah.
Some don't even move in together for like a few years. So
yeah, that's true. And also like everyone has their own leases, like they have homes. So it takes a while to integrate. So it makes sense. But I was like, yeah, that's another added layer of, you know, stress, I guess, and to make sure that you're showing up properly and for Luca.
The only red flag I see with Jordan is his chicken smoothie.
Oh my God,
that was
Natalie.
Disgusting.
That was absolutely.
Especially when he adds the Crystal Light packet.
Oh, I'm confused. Why can't we just eat the chicken and drink the Crystal Light?
I know. I was like, why do you need to blend it up? Like, why do you need to blend that chicken up?
Can the gym bros, girlies, like chime in here. Is this a normal thing to do? Because that should be illegal. That should be illegal.
No, I was like, he needs to go to jail.
So bad. I almost cringed.
I was like, is this a bit? No, literally, I was like, this is a bit for TV, right?
Literally, when he said, I thought it was a banana at first. And when he pulled it up, he goes, it's chicken. I was like, wait, you're kidding.
No, like, he's nasty.
Also,
that's I was like, you know, low key, he's a freak.
That's like, why
there's some darkness.
This is why this is the best sex Megan has ever had at the chicken smoothies.
No, literally. But I was thinking like, I was like, okay, because for me, I feel like Jordan and Sparkle Megan and Allie too, they're like the most normal. But I was like, I found out why Jordan's on this season. There's always something. It's that chicken smoothie.
And honestly, props to Megan for even trying it because you couldn't pay me to try that. She's like, yeah, let's try it. Like, girl, you are better than me.
Yeah, and that's a lot for Deepti to say because she's tried a lot of things.
That was out of pocket, but
I was waiting to say that joke. Like, you know how you have jokes just like in your mind and you're just like waiting to say them at some point? That was one.
You're like, when the hell is she going to shut up so I can say this joke?
And I was like, this is perfect. I was like, how is she going to respond? I can't wait to say it. Anyways, let's go to Calabria and Edmund.
Ah, there's so much to say. There's so much to say. Can we start with...
There's a lot to say, but not much to say, you know?
Yeah, it's exactly. Like... It's like I'm thinking a lot, but...
I'm at a loss of words. When I see their scenes, I'm truly at a loss of words.
No, seriously.
Because I don't understand how they're together.
I just have to say, KB, she is tired. She is tired. She's tired of mothering that man. She's tired of babysitting. And that's why I think she blew up later. But before we get into that, I need to know your thoughts about Edmund's mom.
Okay, I was a little bit confused because Edmund said in the pods that he grew up in foster care, or so I think he did. Mm-hmm. And then his mom says something around like, you know, I raised a good son. I put a lot of work into you. And I was like, is this his foster mom or is this his biological? Like, I didn't understand their relationship.
Yeah, I think I was in the same boat as I need more info, but you were completely accurate in the whole foster care thing. He did grow up in and out of foster care. If that is his biological mom, I think she probably doesn't know what Edmund actually said in the pods or if she maybe knew that information or not. But yeah, that was awkward. The way that Edmund's mom outed her daughter-in-laws was honestly kind of crazy.
I don't have much to say about that scene where they're meeting Edmund's mom. What I will say, I think we're all thinking the same thing, around the same thing. Mm-hmm. It just makes me feel really bad for Edmund. Like, I just have a lot of empathy for him.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm. I agree. I think it's tough, though, because Edmund has gone through a lot, but the responsibility to fix him or to kind of help him to heal shouldn't fall on KB's shoulders.
Exactly.
She's just struggling to be there for Edmund in the way that he needs her to be.
I just don't understand what KB is doing in that relationship because I feel like we can now tell, like, she's checked out.
Oh, absolutely. That's why she blew up about the smallest thing at the pod squad party, the rodeo, whatever.
Yeah.
The country party.
But even before that party, like the scene where he bought her rollerblades, mm-hmm. you could tell at the beginning of the scene, like she's annoyed about something.
Yeah.
Like she's annoyed at him. And I was like, now I feel like maybe KB, even though I still really like her, is doing things for the camera and she's kind of only in this relationship to be on the show at this point, or at least just to be in the experiment in general.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's fair though, because like even us, we're struggling to talk about it because we don't want to talk out of turn on Edmund because we don't know like the things that he's been through. So I can only imagine how she's also like very aware of the cameras and how she comes off because she doesn't want to do Edmund dirty.
Yeah.
By leaving him maybe, or like, I don't know, like there's just so many things that she's probably thinking about.
Yeah.
So I don't know, but you can tell like she's on a short fuse with him.
Oh, 100%.
But I do have to say, like, I understand why she blew up at Edmund at the party, but I think the way she did it was really mean because if my partner called me out in front of our friends like that, I would be fucking livid. That's not the time or place. Like, she could have pulled him aside and done it and then fought. I know they went aside later, but like to start the fight in front of everyone, I think was just really out of pocket for her.
I think like things are brewing inside of her, like her frustrations and annoyances with Edmund, and it just like she popped.
Yep. It just all compounded and she's like, I'm done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's get into that pod squad party.
Let's. Okay.
Production invited the right people. So they invited Mike, who was Megan's other connection, Brendan, who was Annie's other connection, and Kate, who was Nick's other connection.
They also had Anna and Patrick, which unresolved issues there.
I was kind of shocked that Casey wasn't there.
I could believe it. Casey's probably embarrassed.
Yeah. She's probably like, I'm not trying to be in any more scenes where I can be the villain.
And plus she's like, Patrick is going to be there and he's going to ask me for the ring and I'm not giving the ring back.
She's like, I already bonded.
Yeah. This is my ring. My precious.
She's like, my precious. It's a Lord of the Rings reference. If anyone's like, what the fuck? Just want to put it out there. I wanted to talk about Annie and Brendan first because, okay, Annie's delusional. She's like, you know, when we were in the pods, he's like, you're my highest priority. And he's just not giving that energy tonight. I was like, duh, Annie.
Yeah, like, listen, you're engaged, Annie.
I was like, what do you want him to do? Like, fight for your love again? Like, yeah. What are you talking about?
Like, you want him to duel Nick?
I was actually shocked that Brendan told Jordan that he's still a little hurt about what happened in the pods with Annie.
Yeah.
After meeting Annie, because I feel like you could very much tell that him and Annie weren't meant to be.
Yeah, and the fact that Jordan had to explain that to Brendan, and Brendan's still like, oh, like, I actually should let it go. I'm like, yeah, obviously you should let it go. She's about to go to the altar soon.
No, it was the way Jordan said it, though. Yeah. Jordan's like... Sorry, this is really funny, but Jordan's like, yeah, Annie's too quirky and you're too smooth. He says that to Brendan. And he's like, so just let it go. If you read between the lines, you know exactly what Jordan was saying.
Brendan can't see it because he hasn't spent enough time with Annie in the real world.
Yeah.
That was actually hilarious. But I feel like Brendan actually wants to try still with Annie. And that was alarming because once you leave the pods, you need to leave, bro.
I feel like I don't think he wants to try, but I think it was like a hurtful thing that happened to him.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't seem like he's trying to like hit on Annie and try to like win her back.
No.
I think he's just like very sad, mm-hmm. which I kind of get. Like, imagine if you really, really liked someone and then, you know, you see them 3 weeks later.
Yeah.
Newly engaged to the guy she chose over you. Mm-hmm. Like, it's hurtful.
Yeah. Yeah. I can see that. As long as he didn't act on it, we have no issues with Brendan.
But Jordan was funny when he's like, yeah, Annie's too quirky and you're too smooth. I was like, oh.
Okay.
Jordan, we know exactly what you're trying to say and you're trying not to be mean.
Can we continue on with Jordan? Because he is actually so funny. Him telling Joe to shut up because he was talking about Nick.
Oh, yes.
I simply could not. When Joe drinks, he has no filter.
I know people are like, oh my God, he's so funny the way he talks about Nick. I think Joe is fucking mean.
Yeah. I think when the alcohol flows with Joe, he literally can't stop himself from saying anything.
Yeah. I think Joe's crude. I think he's mean. I think he's very, very immature.
I felt really bad for Nick in this last episode because why are they being so mean to him? Like, I understand people have some reservations about him, but at the end of the day, he seems like a nice guy with a good heart. Like, why are people being so rude? Especially Joe. Like, I was like, Like, he's funny in the way he says things because he's drunk, but what he's saying is actually, like, douchebaggy.
Yeah. Yeah, like, it's funny for TV because I think Nick has a polarizing edit right now. So I think if you don't like Nick, like, what Joe is saying is funny, mm-hmm. but I think all in all, Joe's annoying and he's crude and immature and mean.
The conversation between Mike and Megan actually infuriated me because of Mike.
He's so weird.
He's so weird. Like, clearly he's like testing the waters and being like, are you happy? Do you think that you made a mistake? Like, it's so shady. Like, Mike, sorry, you do not have a chance.
This is when I knew Mike was not a good guy. When he tells Megan, like, oh, I was going to DM you. Like, it's a cocky side of me. And she goes, yeah, I appreciate that you didn't.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, why would you even think that's a good idea? Like, you're 37 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that is not a good idea.
No. And not that it's a test in any way, but Megan passed with the flying colors. I'm so proud of the way she handled that conversation.
Kept her boundaries.
Yeah, because he was absolutely trying to bait her at all times, and she did not fall for the bait whatsoever.
Yeah.
And that made me extremely happy to see him, like, just rejected.
No, he's so weird.
He's so weird. And like, plus with all the allegations that are out there about him, like, owing so many people and small business owners money, it just makes me so angry to see that he's getting screen time. It pisses me off.
I kind of like that he's getting screen time because I do think he's getting backlash. And anyone with an ego or a cocky side, like, that's hurting you. The backlash is hurting you.
That's so true.
He's probably like, ow, I'm not a bad guy.
You're totally right. You're totally right. This hurts more.
Yeah, but you know what? watching him made me realize, like, just because you're in your late 30s does not mean that you're mature.
Yeah. And don't believe everything that people tell you, because people lie.
Yeah.
Like, believe what people show you, because that man is a really good liar.
I thought it was really weird that Mike went up to Jordan and was like, I need to talk to your girl, or like, I'm going to steal your girl for a sec.
Yeah.
But Jordan handled that like a champ.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
No, we love Jordan. He's got so many green flags. So many.
He's a green man.
Yeah. It's literally, if you have an angel and devil on both your shoulders, it's Jordan and Mike. Green flag, red flag.
Can we talk about Patrick in general at this Pod Squad party?
Yes. There's so many things. Where do I even begin?
Casey not giving the ring back.
Casey not giving the ring back. I didn't think that I could like Casey any less, but I do, because I wonder if Patrick put in extra money to upgrade the ring and that's why he wants it back potentially, or if she just thinks that like production paid for it, so she wants to keep it.
Good point. Because technically, I don't think it's Patrick's to keep, even though Casey was the one to break up. At the end of the day, it's typically the production company that pays for the rings. And then regardless of what happens in that relationship, the women gets to keep the rings. So right. Really, it is hers. I think he just wanted it back because he was so angry at her, you know, where he's just like, you don't deserve that.
Yeah. The most intriguing part of it was when he revealed that Casey wanted to break up with him hours after the reveal.
Yes.
I thought it was like the next day that she like kind of marinated on it that night and then was like, no, I don't think I can do this. But the fact that she did it hours after the reveal is such a slap in the face to Patrick. And I understand why he's upset. I'd want the ring back too.
I agree. And the fact that she wouldn't even have a phone call with him.
I know.
Like, she's a shitty person.
She is a shitty person. And you can't act that way and then go on podcast interviews and be like, yeah, I'm sorry. Like, yeah, I was gaslighting. I apologize. It's like, it's not going to just go away like that. You have to actually change from that behavior.
And if you listen to some of the interviews that she's doing, she's kind of putting the blame back on Patrick. Well, like, oh, well, Patrick actually wanted Anna, so that hurt me too. It's like, okay, Casey, you know, get over yourself.
Speaking of Anna, what did you think about Patrick and Anna's conversation?
I was shocked that Patrick said Anna was his number one. He would have chose her if she stayed.
Okay, to me, that wasn't surprising because I could see that they were building a really good connection. And I thought that they would choose each other if both of them stayed or if Anna stayed.
The only reason I was surprised is because he says in the pods after Anna left, like, oh, you know, it's okay. Like, that was a girl who's too similar to me. And then he just doesn't show any emotions. Like, he wasn't upset that Anna left.
Yeah.
That's why I was shocked when he said, like, Anna, if you stayed, I would have proposed to you.
Yeah. Okay. This might be an unpopular opinion, but, like, I actually agree with what Anna said. If he felt so strongly about Anna, why would he propose to somebody else? It just shows that Patrick was trying to move along in the experiment and he would do anything to get there. And he was like, oh, cool. Like, I have another person, Casey. She's my backup. I'm just going to continue on with this process. Like, the way he was, like, talking to Anna, it was like, oh, my gosh, I was all in on you. Like, I really would have asked you to marry me if we were together. I know we'd say both say yes at the altar. Like, he's...
No, he said she would say no.
Oh, yeah, you're right. She did say that. But he would say yes. And so he's, like painting this image as if, like, it's Anna or nobody, but in fact, it wasn't, because he told Casey he loves her and then asked her to marry her. So I guess his actions don't align with his words.
The way Anna is thinking is right if you're in a regular world.
Yeah.
But in the Love is Blind world, like, that's what happens, though. Like, when your number one leaves, you go for your number two.
But not Blake. Blake left.
It is an elimination game when you're in the pots.
Yeah. No, I totally understand that. But I think the way Patrick was talking about how intense his connection was with Anna, then don't say that. Yeah. Don't say things like that to make Anna feel bad about leaving. Like, you literally proposed to somebody else. So you have no right to say, if you stayed, it would have been you. Like, don't try to make her feel bad about leaving then. You know what I mean? And that's what is annoying me about that situation. But I do really like Patrick, though. I think he's a sweet guy, but I don't think Anna's into it. I don't think that they're ever going to be a thing.
No. I think she also has revealed publicly, like, she has a boyfriend
now.
And it's not Patrick. So I don't think that they're together. And it, so it doesn't go anywhere.
Yeah.
I understand Anna's point, and I do think she's right in what she's saying.
Mm-hmm.
I also understand Patrick's side of it, where, like, when you're in the pods, it is an elimination game because you are ranking at the end of each day. Mm-hmm. So it's a lot of, like, okay, if it doesn't work out with my number one, it's my number two, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
I think that makes it an elimination game in the pods.
Yeah.
So, like, I understand what Patrick's saying, too, of, like,
well, you left.
You left and you were my number one, so I had to go with my number two.
Yeah. No, and I totally get it. The only part I disagree with him on is the fact that he was, like, saying how intense his feelings were. And that's well, they weren't that intense because you proposed to someone else.
We have to talk more deeply about KB and Edmund's fight.
Yes, let's do it, because she just wasn't ready to listen to him. I don't think that anything he could have said would have made that situation any better in the moment.
Yeah. So it starts off because Annie says Nick is perfect, and Edmund's like, oh, to hear that would be crazy. Like, you know, he would love to hear that from his partner. And KB's like, what? Hear what?
Yeah.
And it just sets her off.
Yeah. And I understand why it sets her off, because again, this is Edmund's way of trying to emotionally manipulate KB in a way to say that she's not doing more.
Well, I actually didn't take it that way. I don't think there was really anything deep to what he was saying.
I don't know, because he makes those passive aggressive comments all the time. And that was her last fucking straw, dude. Because he does do that all the time. He's like, oh, like, all the other people are having sex.
Yeah.
Oh, all the other people are doing this. Oh, he gets compliments, you know, like that kind of energy.
Yeah. I think sometimes I feel like he just says things, like, out of what he's feeling, you know?
That's fair.
Like,
that's fair.
He doesn't have, like, a lot of awareness to what he's saying, but he doesn't mean any harm.
Yeah. No, I don't think he means any harm by it, but it does, like, get to a point where it builds up so much that you're like, what else can I possibly do for you?
I feel like in that moment, KB overreacted. Like, she got so mad. And I do feel like it was a little bit inappropriate for the setting they were in, like, getting mad in front of all these people. And then, you know, she's, like, not really hearing him out. She's, like, talking over him when he's trying to explain himself. But again, I think it's just because she's so done.
Yeah.
And she's frustrated with him and annoyed with him. And she's just like, I can't do this anymore.
Yeah, she is just so tired. And yeah, I can tell that KB's checked out, because she has lost the light in her eyes. Like, the fun, like, energetic and lively KB that we knew in the pods and, like, just full of life, I feel like she seems, like, a little drained.
I agree. And I feel like in that way, I don't blame her for blowing up. I do feel bad for Edmund, because I think if you're just looking at that instance alone, like, I do think she overreacted and he's probably really embarrassed. And I do feel like she was being a little bit mean, but I also understand, like, if I was in her shoes and my partner, like, continuously did things that annoyed me, it would definitely brew inside of me and I would snap at some point.
Yeah, absolutely. And I fear that KB is going to continue being mean to him because she's holding on to a lot of resentment. And that's why I'm like, oh, no. And I feel bad for Edmund, because, like, he doesn't deserve it, because he is just the way he is. But KB needs to just leave.
Yeah, I feel like all in all, she just needs to go.
Yeah. I don't think they're going to make it.
Same. The trailer looks really juicy, though.
It does.
Okay. It looks like all the couples make it to the altar.
Yeah.
All of them are making it to the end, to their wedding day.
Let's go.
I know. Who do you think is going to say I do?
I think that Jordan and Megan could potentially say yes at this point, and Anton and Allie.
For me, I would add to that list and say Nick and Annie.
You're right. Nick and Annie probably would.
But I agree. Like, those three couples all have the potential of getting married.
Yeah.
I don't think they all will, but I think that there's potential based on what we've seen so far. Mm-hmm. Like, they might actually make it.
Yeah. Nick and Annie will be intriguing, because I feel like they both just want to be married.
Yeah.
So they're going to say yes.
Yeah. And Edmund and KB, definitely not making it.
Definitely not making it.
She's saying no.
No, there's no chance.
Or Edmund might surprise us and he might be the one to say no.
He's like, she's being mean. I'm too nice.
Because I'm a nice guy.
Really quickly, there's a hilarious meme. It's Edmund being like, I'm too nice. And the caption is me not telling my nail lady that I hate the color. I'm too nice. I thought you were going to kick out.
Oh my God, I'm dead. Okay. Well, Papa, please let us know what you thought of episodes 7 through 9. And the next drop comes out this Wednesday, and we're excited.
Woo! I'm so excited. And make sure you guys leave a review and subscribe.
See you next, well, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. You just don't know.
Dun, dun, dun. Bye.